In 1854, 19-year-old Giovanni Schiaparelli graduated from college and traveled to Germany. There, he conducted research alongside world-renowned scientists and made a name for himself in the field of astronomy.
Soon after, in 1860, he took an assistantship at an observatory in Milan. By 1862, he was its director. There, he made many incredible discoveries, like the rate at which Mercury and Venus rotated on their axes, and that meteor showers were remnants of larger comets, both of which shared similar orbits.
Schiaparelli's extensive research made people trust his findings, even when they seemed outlandish, including his claims about Mars.
When Schiaparelli and other astronomers of the time observed the red planet, they noticed that light seemed to behave differently at certain sections. It looked like the sun's rays were reflecting off of water.
In fact, they believed the planet had continents and seas, much like Earth. Yet the long straight lines Schiaparelli saw connecting these alleged bodies of water, which he dubbed channels, looked far too precise to have happened naturally. They looked like they'd been designed. So, for the next several decades, Schiaparelli's discoveries led many to believe Mars had to be home to intelligent life.
Welcome to Conspiracy Theories, a Spotify original from Parcast. Every Monday and Wednesday, we dig into the complicated stories behind the world's most controversial events and search for the truth. I'm Carter Roy.
And I'm Molly Brandenburg.
And neither of us are conspiracy theorists.
But we are open-minded, skeptical, and curious. Don't get us wrong. Sometimes the official version is the truth.
But sometimes it's not.
You can find episodes of Conspiracy Theories and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify or wherever you listen to podcasts.
This is our first episode about Mars. Today, we'll cover the surprising history of the red planet, from how its orbital movement undermined the power of the Catholic Church to NASA's ongoing search for life.
In our next episode, we'll dive into three conspiracy theories about the planet. We'll see if life existed there before Earth, if NASA has already populated the planet in secret, or if Martians helped ancient cultures build their civilizations.
We'll have all that and more coming up. Stay with us.
This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off, or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs, and My Lotto Rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Going for your first ever run around the park. Literally running errands all over town. Running for the finish line and your personal best. If you run, you're a runner. Find the shoes and clothes to run your way at newbalance.com/running. New Balance. Run your way.
Mars. The red planet. Barren and inhospitable, it shines brightly in the night sky, so much so that it can be seen by the naked eye. And while Mars appears dead, it shares a surprising amount of similarities with Earth. Some believe it may have even contained intelligent life.
Mars came into existence with the rest of our solar system approximately 4.5 billion years ago. Scientists are still unsure exactly how it was formed, but they suspect that gravitational forces cause gas and dust to swirl together in a process that can take tens of millions of years, almost like a giant dust bunny gathering debris over time.
Both Earth and Mars exist in an area of the solar system known as the habitable zone, meaning they're neither too close nor too far away from the sun and are able to have liquid water on their surface. If other conditions were right on Mars, like a proper atmosphere, it could be more conducive to sustaining life today.
While the sun doesn't overheat Earth or Mars, it still bombards them with deadly radiation. Fortunately, thanks to inner cores made up of varying degrees of iron and nickel, both planets developed magnetic fields that shielded them from the sun's damage. Ultimately, this invisible cover allowed life to develop on Earth, and at one point, might have been the case for Mars as well.
One thing is for sure, there was definitely water on the red planet 3.5 billion years ago. Meaning, this would have been right around the time life could have started to originate.
Mars is only about half the size of Earth, so it has less mass. Its density is also significantly smaller. As a result, some scientists have speculated that its core cooled off much faster, causing Mars to lose its magnetic field. Others have suggested that about 4 billion years ago, a major event such as an asteroid impact disrupted the planet's magnetic barrier. Without protection, radiation from the sun destroyed the planet's environment.
This caused Mars' oceans to dry up approximately 3 billion years ago, leaving behind barren channels and riverbeds. Although shockingly, the planet does still have ice caps in its north and south poles.
With an average temperature of negative 81 degrees Fahrenheit, conditions are currently too harsh for life to exist, but the ice would be a great place to search for fossilized remains.
Mars' surface is actually one of its most captivating features. Rich in iron, it interacts with the trace amounts of oxygen left in the atmosphere and rusts, giving the planet its vibrant red color.
This startling hue caught the attention of many ancient cultures, including the Egyptians roughly 4,000 years ago. As one of the five planets visible to the naked eye, they didn't need special equipment to see it.
Some mornings, just before dawn, they noticed a small dot suspended above the desert sands. It was pink and slightly bigger than the other stars. At night, it glowed bright red and was only outshone by Venus.
But its color wasn't the only thing that made Mars stand out. Egyptian astronomers also noticed the planet moved in an unexpected pattern. At times, it even seemed to move backwards.
Given its color and behavior, the ancient Egyptian name for the planet translated to Horus the Red, after their sky god.
Other ancient civilizations followed suit, naming the planets after their own gods with similar features. Since red often represents passion and blood, most cultures named the planet after violent mythological figures.
The Babylonians called it Nergal, a god of conflict and scorched earth. The Greeks named it Ares, after their god of war.
But for the Greeks, Mars didn't just hold religious significance, it also held scientific importance. Ultimately, the renowned philosopher and scholar Aristotle used it to lay out his theory for how all of the planets were arranged in space.
During this time, it was widely believed that Earth was the center of the universe. People believed the sun, moon, and other planets rotated around the Earth. But on the evening of May 4th, 357 BCE, Aristotle witnessed the moon pass in front of Mars. This led him to believe that the moon was closer to us than Mars.
From there, Aristotle observed the other planets and created a chart of the solar system. With the Earth at the center, he arranged the planets from closest to farthest. Think of it like a series of train tracks around a Christmas tree. Earth was the tree, and each planet was a different train, going around it on their own track, each a little further away than the next.
After the Greeks fully adopted this model, it also gained popularity amongst Judeo-Christian astronomers. Certain verses in the Bible reinforced Aristotle's belief that the Earth was the center of the solar system. For example, one verse states, "The world is firmly established. It will not be moved."
Although some scholars had a problem with Aristotle's theory, if the planets moved on such orderly tracks, then it didn't make sense that Mars appeared to be moving backwards. The astronomer Ptolemy would put forward the first explanation for planetary retrograde motion in the 2nd century CE. However, his model was still based on the geocentric idea that Earth was at the center of the universe.
Nearly 1,400 years would pass before scholars moved past this erroneous hypothesis, when finally the Polish astronomer Nicholas Copernicus produced a new model.
Copernicus was the quintessential Renaissance man. In 1491, he attended college at the University of Krakow before continuing his studies in Italy, where he pursued arts, medicine, and law. And while he was skilled in all of those fields, his real passion was astronomy.
He returned to Poland and built a small observatory, equipped with some of the most advanced instruments of his time. By using these tools, which weren't available back in Aristotle's day, Copernicus was able to see that the planets actually circled the sun.
That's common knowledge to us now, but it was groundbreaking when Copernicus published his findings in 1543, shortly before his death. It completely undermined the idea that the Earth was at the center of the solar system, and by extension, shook the foundations of Western religion. If the Earth wasn't at the center, then it seemed like the Bible was wrong.
Copernicus knew this was a direct threat to the Catholic Church, so he was very careful about how he presented his findings, like posing his discovery as a hypothetical scenario instead of a concrete fact. And to avoid further controversy, he even dedicated his book to the Pope in hopes of winning his favor.
This strategy seemingly worked because the Catholic Church never suppressed or persecuted Copernicus directly. However, a precedent was set. From that point on, other scientists were inspired to share their discoveries, even if they undermined the church's dogmatic beliefs.
Unfortunately, not all of them were so tactful. By the 1600s, some scientists were tortured and even burned at the stake for their astronomical findings. In 1616, the Catholic Church finally realized that Copernicus's book had started this movement and banned it entirely.
Even with the revelatory discovery of Copernicus, one part of the question remained unanswered: why Mars seemed to move differently than the rest of the planets. Johannes Kepler, born in 1571, set about figuring it out.
Kepler used Copernicus's theory that the sun was the center of the solar system as the basis for his observations, but he soon found that the planets didn't rotate in a perfect circle. It was more of an oblong shape.
These uneven orbits explained why Mars appeared to move differently. Essentially, Earth and Mars were like two race cars on separate oval tracks. Earth was closer to the inside and moved faster than Mars. In fact, it moves so much faster that it circles the sun approximately twice in the time it takes Mars to go around once.
So when Earth was behind Mars, catching up to it, the red planet seemed to be moving forward. Then, when Earth passed or lapped Mars, it appeared to be moving backwards.
Despite the church's efforts to suppress this pivotal change in the universe model, the truth won out. Soon, everyone accepted that the sun was the center of the solar system, and the planets orbited elliptically around it. But even with the controversy finally settled, new debates surrounding Mars erupted in the centuries that followed.
Coming up, evidence of a dying civilization found on Mars.
Every so often, something so impactful happens, it has the power to capture the attention of a whole country. An event so deadly or dumbfounding, it has no choice but to live on in infamy. Hi, Parcasters. It's Ashley Flowers, and I'm exposing the most sinister cases from the darkest corners of the globe in my new True Crime Limited series, International Infamy. Every Tuesday, come along as I guide you on a wicked world tour. 15 different countries, 15 infamous crimes. Take a trip to Iceland, where 6 people confessed to a murder that never actually happened. Journey to Mexico, where a lucha libre wrestler moonlights as a serial killer. And travel to New Zealand, where 2 friends hatch a deadly plan to become famous. Each episode of International Infamy explores the twists and turns of a notoriously high-profile case, zeroing in on the cultural details which make the crime unique to its location, and explaining why it couldn't have happened anywhere else. Follow my new Spotify original from Parcast, International Infamy with Ashley Flowers, and catch a new episode every week. Listen free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
The holidays have arrived early with Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale. Upgrading window coverings can be a minor project with a major impact. Blinds.com makes it easy and affordable. Browse premium blinds, shades, shutters. We have your patio covered too. And get unlimited window treatments installed for one low cost. Free shipping and Blinds.com's 100% satisfaction guarantee. Shop Blinds.com's Spring Black Friday sale now. Save up to 45% plus premium doorbusters. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Now back to the story.
For 2,000 years, people tried to explain Mars' backwards movement. It wasn't until the early 1600s that astronomers finally created an accurate model of our solar system. But even with the cultural disputes around the change finally settled, Mars still held plenty of other surprises.
In 1659, a Dutch astronomer named Christiaan Huygens noticed a dark patch on Mars' surface while using a relatively new invention called the telescope. He believed it was a large sea, and by tracking how often that ocean appeared in the planet's rotation, Huygens was able to determine that a day on Mars was about 24 hours and 40 minutes long. Given these similarities to Earth, he even suspected that life could be thriving on the red planet.
Over the next 200 years, other scientists somewhat agreed with Huygens. But in 1877, Italian astronomer Giovanni Schiaparelli seemingly found even more evidence of life on Mars.
As Schiaparelli watched Mars from his observatory in Milan, he paid particular attention to the supposed seas on the planet's surface. But he also saw long, straight lines connecting these bodies of water.
Unsure of what had created these perfect lines, he simply called them channels. Schiaparelli then created maps of the planet and published them throughout Europe and the US. But here's the catch. The Italian word for channels is canali. When the maps made their way to other European countries in the U.S., translators turned canali into the word canals.
To English speakers, canals implied a man-made structure, meaning they weren't found organically in nature. People then assumed that something intelligent must have created these waterways on Mars.
Canals were on everyone's mind those days. The Suez Canal had just been completed in 1869, and there were plans to begin the Panama Canal in 1881. These were two of the most ambitious engineering projects humans had ever attempted. It made sense to them that canals on Mars would also require intelligent life.
Unfortunately, the notion that Mars had handcrafted canals was just a colossal miscommunication of Schiaparelli's work. And it was an error that would change people's perspective of the red planet for the next 100 years.
We don't know why exactly Schiaparelli didn't correct the error. It's possible he was open to the idea of intelligent life on the red planet.
It's also possible that people just didn't want to listen. The idea that life could exist on Mars gripped the public's imagination, especially that of a man named Percival Lowell.
Lowell was an American author and entrepreneur who wrote extensively about the cultures of Japan and Korea. His fascination with distant locations eventually led him to a study of Mars in 1894.
Using his own money, he built a modern observatory in Flagstaff, Arizona, one of the oldest of its kind in the U.S. And when he looked through his telescope, he too believed he'd seen a series of canals. In fact, he spent the next 15 years describing exactly what he saw.
Those descriptions included everything from topographical maps to theories about why the canals were there. But Lowell didn't think the canals were the remnants of an ancient civilization. He believed they were still in use. According to him, aliens were using the canals to take water from the poles to irrigate their planet.
Americans found his work highly intriguing, but several scientists rejected Lowell's unfounded theories. Many of those same researchers claimed that when they looked at Mars through their telescopes, they didn't see the canals at all.
Oddly, for all those who tried to discredit Lowell, famed inventor Nikola Tesla actually believed him. Tesla was certain there was life on Mars. He went as far as to claim that he'd received a radio signal from the planet.
One evening in 1899, Tesla was sitting in his lab in the Colorado Hills. It was home to many of his famous experiments, including his research on light bulbs and the wireless telegraph.
As he worked in silence, the telegraph's receiver suddenly came to life. The machine then issued three soft taps.
Tesla was certain it was a coded message, and for the next 2 years, he set out to find exactly where it had come from.
Since the signals seemed so faint, he believed they must have come from another planet, specifically Venus or Mars. Initially, Tesla believed both of these planets could contain intelligent life. Later, though, he decided that only Mars was a feasible option.
Upon arriving at this conclusion, Tesla shared his findings with the media. He'd received a message from Mars, and understandably, it sent journalists into a frenzy.
Many reporters were so convinced that Tesla was right, they didn't question his methods at all. His reputation spoke for itself. One journalist even characterized all naysayers as anti-intellectual donkeys. The writer then surmised that humans might soon be able to communicate with Mars on a regular basis.
While the media leaned into Tesla's announcement, most of the scientific community dismissed his beliefs as mere hype. And frankly, it seems like they were right, because Tesla wasn't able to provide much proof that the three mysterious taps had actually come from Mars. Still, that didn't stop others from trying to communicate with the red planet.
Around 1920, an Italian inventor named Guglielmo Marconi claimed he too had been in communication with Mars. Marconi asserted that the radios in his laboratories in both London and New York had picked up on interplanetary messages. The signals were persistent and resembled Morse code. Much like Tesla found, to Marconi, the weak signals suggested they'd traveled a great distance to get there.
As outlandish as this seemed, other renowned scientists took Marconi seriously. Veteran inventor Thomas Edison even chimed in. While he wasn't completely sold, he did say that the signals could be good evidence of life on other planets.
Surprisingly, theoretical physicist Albert Einstein was also convinced. He confidently stated, quote, "There is every reason to believe that Mars and other planets are inhabited."
Einstein even proposed that there were better ways to communicate with Mars. Whereas radio signals could get lost in space, he suggested using light waves because they were a lot easier to control.
So in 1920, a scientist named Elmer A. Sperry planned to follow through on Einstein's suggestion. He was an esteemed American inventor who held over 400 patents. for brighter searchlights, gyroscopes for battleships, and other navigation tools.
Knowing how boats traveled and communicated across huge distances was valuable expertise for Sperry. He figured sending messages to another planet would be incredibly similar. So Sperry decided to create a gigantic signal to communicate with Mars. He'd already made one searchlight, which he claimed had the brightness of a billion candles.
He told reporters that he planned to combine as many as 200 lights of equal power and point them in the direction of Mars. In theory, if Mars was home to an advanced civilization, they could then easily pick up on the signals.
There was only one thing stopping Sperry: money. It would be way too expensive to create a power source that could energize all 200 of those lights.
Unfortunately, without adequate funding, Sperry's project never took off. But his interest did prove that life on Mars wasn't just some fringe theory. Clearly, many respected scientists believed it was possible. By 1924, even the U.S. government began searching for life on Mars, during a planetary phenomenon known as an opposition.
An opposition occurs when Earth and Mars align on the same side of the Sun. This can bring them within approximately 36 million miles of each other, and it happens about once every 26 months, with the closest events happening every 15 to 17 years. So when the 1924 opposition brought them close together, U.S. officials figured it was an ideal time to attempt to communicate with the planet.
On August 21st, Secretary of the Navy Curtis D. Wilbur told radio operators to monitor their channels for any unusual signals. They were told to keep the lines open through August 23rd. After that point, Wilbur believed Earth and Mars would be too far apart, making it impossible for radio waves to reach the planets.
To Wilbur's dismay, no interplanetary communications came through. And for the next two decades, the search for life on Mars quietly died down. Between the Great Depression and World War II, the U.S. focused on the pressing matters at hand.
But when the Cold War came in the 1950s and 60s, scientists renewed their interest in the Red Planet. Not only did American researchers want to beat the Russians to the moon, they were keen to make other pivotal discoveries about space.
In November 1964, NASA launched the first successful mission to Mars. Their small spacecraft, Mariner 4, reached the planet on July 14th. As it flew by, it took 22 close-up pictures of the surface, which revealed Mars' desolate, rocky terrain.
The mission proved that the planet had a thin atmosphere and the surface was a barren wasteland. It also gave NASA a closer look at impact craters that had formed long ago. They found that in some areas, the daytime surface temperature plummeted to minus 148 degrees Fahrenheit, far too cold to sustain life.
But for everything Mariner 4 saw, it didn't find any canals or channels like Schiaparelli had claimed. In fact, the mission confirmed just the opposite. They were never there to begin with.
In the 1960s, three Mariner spacecraft flew by Mars and photographed about 10% of the surface. Gone were the canals, gone were the cities, gone the brilliant and sinister Martians. The photographs revealed a cratered landscape much like the moon, waterless and apparently hostile to life.
Remember, Schiaparelli didn't specifically say that he'd found canals. He just noted long lines that looked like channels. But what he saw was actually an optical illusion. When Schiaparelli looked through his telescope, certain features on Mars got stretched and blurred.
As for the fact that Percival Lowell also confirmed what Schiaparelli saw with his far more powerful telescope, some have speculated that Lowell saw these supposed channels because of a different optical illusion.
Sometimes when looking through a telescope, people experience an event called an entoptic phenomenon. Essentially, that's what happens when someone stares at a bright light, causing people to see the blood vessels within their own eye. It's thought that while observing Mars, Lowell ended up seeing his own blood vessels and mistook them for a network of artificial waterways.
Others have put forward a much simpler idea, namely that Lowell saw canals as a result of his own self-delusion because he wanted so badly to see them. The conclusion from Mariner 4's mission that no man-made channels or canals exist was devastating to some Mars enthusiasts, especially anyone hoping for clues to a civilization, past or present.
But what they didn't know was the mission to discover extraterrestrial life had only just begun.
Coming up, humanity's potential to rebuild on Mars.
Today, healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations with Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
Now, back to the story.
The invention of the telescope in 1608 allowed astronomers to get a better view of Mars. But early on, the technology had flaws. Many astronomers were led to believe that the red planet had been occupied by an advanced civilization.
NASA's Mariner 4 mission dispelled that belief in 1965. But while there were no canals, later expeditions like 1971's Mariner 9 did lead some scientists to speculate about the possibility of dried-up bodies of liquid water. This revived the hope that life could have existed on the planet at one point. Most surprising of all was that soon, the most compelling evidence for life on Mars was actually found on Earth.
On December 27, 1984, a team of scientists located a 4-pound meteorite in Antarctica. Back in their lab, they compared the chemical composition of the meteorite with spacecraft data about the chemical composition of Mars and confirmed that it had come from the red planet.
They theorized that when another gigantic meteorite crashed into Mars millions of years ago, it sent debris flying into the solar system. The meteorite floated in space until it landed on Earth about 13,000 years ago.
Discoveries about this particular rock continued. In 1996, researchers thought they found evidence of life within it. When subjected to detailed examination, it appeared as if there were small, fossilized remains of worm-like bacteria.
Initial tests seemed to confirm that the remains could be organic matter. However, based on scientists' understanding of DNA and an organism's genetic makeup at the time, it seemed that the bacteria were too small to contain the molecular equipment necessary to sustain life.
For NASA, it seemed time to go back to the source itself, Mars. So in 1996, they launched the Sojourner rover.
Instead of just orbiting above Mars, this machine landed on the planet's surface. It was a 6-wheeled, 25-pound car, roughly the size of a microwave. And when combined with the construction of its stationary lander, it cost a whopping $175 million.
After a 7-month journey, it touched down on Mars on July 4, 1997. The rover was only expected to last for 7 days and take a handful of pictures. Afterward, scientists suspected that dust would block the rover's solar panels, preventing it from getting more power.
But against all odds, the compact explorer kept chugging along for another 83 days.
While the Mariner 4 had only been able to take 22 images, Sojourner captured hundreds. For the first time, it revealed what it would actually look like to set foot on the red planet. It also determined the composition of rocks and soil and collected information about the planet's weather.
Based on the success of the rover, NASA continued sending more unmanned vehicles to Mars.
But not all of them experienced the same success as Sojourner. Historically, NASA and other space programs have failed to land on Mars' surface for about 70% of their attempts. Some made it to space, but lost communication on the way. Others never left the atmosphere due to faulty rockets. One mission even made it to the planet's surface, but inexplicably died after only 20 seconds. All of these failures likely amounted to billions of dollars.
But NASA was determined. In 2003, the agency launched two rovers at the same time, Spirit and Opportunity. They were designed to look specifically for signs of liquid water on the red planet.
Together, these rovers cost $800 million to make. They were both the size of a golf cart and weighed about 400 pounds. It would be a feat of defying the odds. NASA had never attempted to launch, guide, and land rovers of this size before, and the fact that there were two doubled their chances of failure.
Thankfully, the liftoff and the 283-million-mile journey went off without a hitch. After 7 months in space, the pair finally arrived in Mars' atmosphere in January 2004. Once on the planet's surface, the rovers then searched for signs of liquid water and found plenty of evidence.
The Opportunity rover discovered a few rock formations known as blueberries, small stones with a spherical shape that also exist on Earth. They form when iron-rich water interacts with other chemicals, ultimately proving that Mars was rich with some of the elements needed to sustain life.
The Spirit rover also found evidence that hot springs had existed on Mars several million years ago. On Earth, numerous organisms make their home in the vents of hot springs, so it's possible that Martian microbes did the same thing.
These organisms might not have been as advanced or intelligent as someone like Percival Lowell had hoped, but finding a microorganism meant that life could potentially exist on the planet again one day.
With Mars' history of water confirmed, NASA began preparing a new rover that would search for fossils.
That expedition began in July 2020 when NASA launched the Perseverance rover. It touched down on February 18, 2021. Using a device called a SuperCam in combination with other instruments, it detects traces of organic compounds in the planet's surface.
As of this recording, Perseverance has only been on Mars for a few months, so it hasn't done much exploring. Scientists at Mission Control are still testing its equipment to avoid any mistakes. And since it can take hours for communication to travel from Earth to Mars, the process might take a while.
Telecom is confirming that the spacecraft has switched to broadcasting tones. These tones are received directly from Perseverance, but have very limited information content. We won't receive real-time information until about 9-10 minutes from now, once the Mars Reconnaissance Orbiter starts relaying information from Perseverance.
Once the engineers complete their tests, they plan to explore Mars' ancient river deltas and shores. This is where life is most likely to have lived, died, and fossilized. But in the next few decades, it's possible that rovers won't be the only ones looking for life. Humans may very well be working alongside them.
In October 2020, Mars' biggest fan, entrepreneur Elon Musk, shared his goals for space travel. He said there's a chance SpaceX would send a crewed mission to the red planet by the year 2026. He also claimed that he wanted to build a city of 1 million people on Mars by the year 2050.
This is hopefully the first step on a journey towards civilization on Mars, life becoming multiplanetary, you know, based on the moon and expanding beyond Earth, and life becoming multiplanetary for the first time in the 4.5 billion year history of Earth. I think this is hopefully the first step on that journey. It will require a tremendous amount of innovation and technology development to make going to orbit and ultimately beyond orbit a routine matter where thousands and perhaps ultimately millions of people can travel to other planets. That's what we really need to achieve over time.
It's an ambitious plan. Pulling that off would mean creating 1,000 specialized rockets capable of reaching the planet, which could potentially cost trillions of dollars.
Because of this, experts believe Musk's plan probably won't happen within that time frame. The other issue is how humans will survive on Mars once they arrive there.
Transporting supplies will be costly, so space colonists will likely need to grow their own food. But Mars soil contains toxic chemicals, so farming on the surface is not guaranteed.
To adapt, colonists will potentially need to go underground and build greenhouses, which still isn't a perfect solution. This would require huge amounts of infrastructure, genetically modified plants, and a massive supply of water. To source that water, humans would likely need to transport it from Mars' ice caps, which would be a massive undertaking in and of itself.
Although there are others who believe we may not need to live underground on Mars, physicist and planetary scientist Neil deGrasse Tyson says humans might be able to terraform the planet. This would mean altering Mars' atmosphere to become more like Earth's.
Doing so would require putting numerous satellites in orbit around the red planet, equipped with giant reflectors. Those mirrors would then direct light to Mars' surface and change the average temperature from minus 81 degrees Fahrenheit to a more habitable temperature for humans.
This heat would melt some of the ice in the polar regions, which would release more carbon dioxide into the atmosphere. That CO2 would trap more heat and make the planet even warmer.
It's a fascinating plan, but that level of technology doesn't exist yet. And terraforming could take anywhere from a few decades to a million years. So for now, this project remains strictly in the realm of science fiction.
The most feasible possibility is that an organization like NASA or SpaceX will send a few people to Mars for a short-term mission. And even then, scientists will have to create a rocket that's capable of supporting the crew for the roughly 7-month trips there and back. Conventional wisdom suggests a mission to Mars is still a long way off.
If we've learned anything, it's that Mars is a topic ripe for debate. Next time, we'll get into some theories that defy everything we know about the red planet, like conspiracy theory number 1. Advanced life may have once lived on Mars, and there's telltale signs of their legacy buried in its red sands.
Or conspiracy theory number 2, aliens from Mars helped early humans develop their own ancient civilizations.
And finally, conspiracy theory number 3, some people believe that U.S. Marines and alien species have waged war on Mars.
Since its discovery, Mars has remained an enigma. People have observed it for thousands of years, and yet each century seems to pose its own new questions.
For now, Mars remains a distant puzzle, one that humans are wildly invested in solving. Thanks for tuning in to Conspiracy Theories. We'll be back next time for part 2 on Mars.
You can find all episodes of Conspiracy Theories and all other Spotify originals from Parcast for free on Spotify.
Until then, remember, the truth isn't always the best story.
And the official story isn't always the truth.
Conspiracy Theories is a Spotify original from Parcast. Executive producers include Max and Ron Cutler. Sound design by Dick Schroeder, with production assistance by Ron Shapiro, Trent Williamson, Carly Madden, and Freddie Beckley. This episode of Conspiracy Theories was written by Rob Heckert, with writing assistance by Lori Gottlieb and Mackenzie Moore. Fact-checking by Bennett Logan, and research by Bradley Klein. Conspiracy Theories stars Molly Brandenburg and Carter Roy.
Hi, listeners. It's Ashley Flowers, and here's a quick reminder to check out my new True Crime Limited series, International Infamy. Every Tuesday, I'm taking you across the globe to look at 15 of the most notorious crimes from 15 different countries. Some stories are sure to shock,
Some may leave you stumped, but all are quite the trip. Follow my new series, International Infamy with Ashley Flowers. Listen for free on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.